B-Pod Studios.
Tub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who...
Hour two of the DraftKings Over-Under Show here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. We take you up until 9 a.m. on this cold but sunny Saturday in Boston. Brendan Glasheen in for Joe Murray. Joe's back next week, so if you're sick of me after, what, 3 hours of airtime on this program, you get Joe back next week. Dan Lifschitz, Tucker Silva, they are both in their normal spots. So talking college basketball, we have one, well, in most cases, two weeks left in the regular season in college hoops. And then we head to conference tournament time and then the dance, which is, like Dan said, right around the corner. We are very close. We've made our way through some of the early games. We talked Michigan State and Purdue. Michigan State in a desperate spot today, getting 4.5, a home dog. And then Arkansas, 2.5-point favorite at home against number 6 Kentucky. Arkansas in a big spot as well. As we move down the board, Dan Lifschitz, what else jumping off the page to you?
Okay, so I'm not going to PP this one just yet. I'd probably give it out on Twitter later today because this is a line that's going to end up moving. But Texas on the road to West Virginia, to me, this is a fantastic spot if you're looking for a home dog today with a little bit of value, I think, at least in my opinion. Now, West Virginia has sucked in the Big 12. They're 3-12 this year, but they've gotten every win in the Big 12 at home. Kansas State, Oklahoma State, and an Iowa State victory, all three of them at home. They have Texas today. Now, Texas has been a mediocre road team, okay? They have wins at Stanford, obviously. They have a win versus Oklahoma on the road. They have a win at TCU on the road. So, you know, and win versus Kansas State on the road. So they've been okay. Here are their road losses: Gonzaga, Seton Hall, which you know how about I feel about the Big East, all of you right now. Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor. And Baylor. Now, Morgantown to me is just the... it's not a tough place to play. It's just the travel to get there is awful, especially from Texas. It's a really, really tough place to travel to, first off. Second off, you have Baylor on Monday at home, and then a week later you got Kansas. So, yeah, you're probably not prepping for Kansas right now. You have a week in between games there, or 5 days or whatever, I should say, in between games there. But you got Baylor Monday. Huge game for you because, first off, Baylor, and we'll get into the Baylor-Kansas game today, but if Baylor wins today, that they're going to be in position with Kansas. They're going to be tied for the top of the Big 12 for that turn, for the conference. So all of a sudden, that game has become ever so more important for Baylor to win this game against Texas, you know, on the road. And then they're on the road at Kansas. So two very, very important games for both those teams coming up. In my opinion, I think this is a really, really good spot for home dog West Virginia. I think it's for 3 right now. We're already seeing some 3 minus 115. I think by tip, that's 4, probably. Maybe 4.5, the way it's trending right now.
So it's quite the opposite of a look-ahead spot. It's more so a spot where, like, they've got to get this game because of the next 2 coming up.
I actually think this is a look-ahead spot for Texas. I think that they're... Okay. At this point, well, they're in the tournament, right?
They're a 5 seed projected right now, by Lenardi.
Yeah, they're okay. So they're in the tournament safely, in my opinion. They're a top 20 team. They're safely there. Okay, I think right now Texas is in, and you're looking ahead to Baylor. You're prepping for that game on Monday, because again, a loss versus West Virginia on the road probably doesn't knock you down too much. A win versus Baylor at home bumps you heavily. You probably go from what you said, they're projected 5 seed right now.
Yep.
Now you're talking about 4 seed potential. So I think that, to me, that is a huge game for Texas. And then if you put in a good you know, game against Rock Chalk on the road, you know, now we're talking about maybe a top 15 Texas team here. And you know, who knows where that goes. Are you going to be able to steal one of those top 3 seeds from a team like So I do think this is an important game for Texas. I don't think this is a very important game for Texas. I think the next two are way more important. I do think, obviously, you want to win this game, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want the committee being like, well, you lost late in the season to West Virginia. But that being said, the loss to West Virginia is not nearly as valuable as a win at home versus Baylor would be.
No question.
You know, that's a tier one win.
Exactly. The committee's looking at those quad one wins, and if you can get that win against Baylor, a team they're hoping to split with, they lost by 17 to them earlier in the season. Then you're going to get Kansas's best game because they beat Kansas in a great game, which I think was also a big 12 Monday night game a few weeks ago. Moving our way through the board here, again, close to 150 games today in college basketball. What else you got?
Auburn-Tennessee. Auburn on the road to Tennessee.
Yeah, this is a tough game, right?
Yeah.
The number's suspect to me.
Yeah, this is what I'm probably going to stay off. I do think there's a little bit of value in Auburn. It's probably going to be the square side. Getting 3 points on the road with Auburn, probably going to be the square side. But I do think that there's probably a little bit of value here with them. Look, this is an Auburn team that, coming off that Florida loss, not great. You know, they have not been an elite road team this year.
They can't shoot the three.
Yeah.
It's a big problem.
Yeah, the losses at Arkansas and Florida are, you know, disturbing. But again, this team is still 25-3. They found ways to win, you know, in these crazy games. They had that wild, was it triple overtime loss to UConn early in the year?
Yeah, that was in Atlantis,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was that neutral site game. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the game, so the three losses are UConn on the road at Arkansas, on the road at Florida. Like, you know, we're not talking about some scrub teams.
No, they're a very good team.
They have lost in Nebraska. Like, you know, they're finding their way. On the road to Tennessee, this is interesting to me today. Because now you're talking about if Kentucky or Arkansas wins, now whoever wins that game, you're honestly hoping if it's Auburn, you're hoping that Arkansas wins that game because that could drop Kentucky down to 12-4 in the conference. And now Auburn has, you know, assuming a victory today, now that has, you know, a 2-game lead. But they're 3-point dogs at Tennessee. This is a game I'm probably just staying off. I do think this game is important for Tennessee, though, because they can kind of leapfrog potentially into that 2 slot with a victory today and a Kentucky loss. So now we're talking about maybe the game being a little bit more important for Tennessee, who is what, a projected?
I was just going to find that.
I'm just guessing probably a 4 seed right now. They're probably one of the best 4 seeds, maybe borderline 5 seed.
Tennessee is a projected 3 seed at the moment.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
That's Lenardi.
I do not think they'll be a 3 seed.
You think they could get as high as 2?
No, I think they're going to be lower than that. I do not think they're going to be a 3 seed. Because they finish off Auburn, Georgia, Arkansas. I do not see them going 3-0 in those games. If they win today, okay, quad one win.
They'll go
2 out of 3.
Georgia sucks.
Yeah, they do get Arkansas at home too. Man, maybe they might be. I'm assuming Lenardi is projecting wins versus Auburn and Arkansas in both those games then. I'm assuming they're projecting 3-0. Interesting. If I was a gambling man, I'd say there's value on the over 3.5 in terms of seeding there. Because I don't think they beat Auburn and Arkansas. That's a tough pill to swallow. You know, they're a good home team for sure. But that's a tough one to swallow. I don't know. Again, this is a game I'm staying off of. But nonetheless, a very good game today. Duke-Syracuse at 6 o'clock.
Mm.
Look, the game in reality doesn't really mean much, okay? Syracuse is awful this year. They're not going to make the tournament.
Nope.
They're 15-15. They're not making the tournament this year. But it is like that Duke-Syracuse, there's a historical factor there. So there is going to be some interest in this game.
Yeah, Boeheim, Krzyzewski, yep. Team USA, longtime friends. Last time Coach K will be at the Carrier Dome. Jim Boeheim coaching his kids. I don't know if it's senior day for Syracuse, but that could mean something because folks in Syracuse are kind of calling for Jim Boeheim's job right now. So this could be a nice way to send him off. They could somehow, not necessarily win the game, but they could hang in there, maybe.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's a stretch. Trust me. I admit that.
Yeah. You know, obviously Duke coming off, coming off that win against Virginia, holding on, didn't cover in that game, by the way, but, you know, coming off that, you know, that road win versus Virginia, back-to-back roadies, not the best spot to back them in, but, you know, it's Duke versus a bad Syracuse team. To me, you're probably, I know it's a lot, but I'm probably laying the 7.5 if I had to. Also at 6 o'clock, Wisconsin-Rutgers. To me, this is a really, really good game because Rutgers is fighting to get in the tournament. They had a really, really awful non-conference schedule. Losses at DePaul, home versus Lafayette. Or that might have been a Nutrisite game. And then at UMass.
You got to beat Lafayette.
I mean, that three-game stretch there is just awful. Like, DePaul, Lafayette, and UMass, like, you don't deserve to make it off that. But then you look at what they've done in the Big Ten this year, mm-hmm. and it's pretty funny, the bounce back. They have a win at home versus Purdue. They have wins versus Michigan, Iowa. They beat them 48-46. Everyone remembers that barn burner. Michigan State, Ohio State, a road win at Wisconsin, and a win at home versus Illinois. So they've rebounded and become a pretty decent team the second half of the season and, you know, racked up some pretty quality wins here. Can they beat Wisconsin today? Because Wisconsin's got Purdue coming up in a few days. I think they have Purdue, what, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever it is. So, I mean, you know, Tuesday, whatever March 1st is.
So Wisconsin has Purdue Tuesday.
Okay,
March
Tuesday.
1st.
Okay, yeah. So there you go. So Tuesday, like, you know, so, you know, 4 days out, you're probably looking ahead to that game a little bit, but you notice that Rutgers has been scary. I do think this is an important game. If Rutgers wins this game, man. And we also just kind of talked about the Big Ten standings. Like, Wisconsin has to win to keep in line with, you know, Purdue. You're probably assuming he's going to win today at Michigan State. Although, again, I like the spot for Michigan State. You know, I think you're Wisconsin. If Purdue loses the game to Michigan State today, do you think Wisconsin maybe takes their foot off the gas a little bit, or do you think they apply it even more? So that's always the argument. You know, does a team who has a slight lead now take the foot off the gas or leave it on? We know Wisconsin doesn't score enough. We know Rutgers plays pretty decent defense on mm-hmm. the stretch here.
And they held Johnny Davis, their best player, arguably the best player in the conference. They held him to 11 points.
And beat them convincingly on the road, you know, at Wisconsin. So I do wonder if there's a little bit of a revenge factor here. I'll tell you this. I have no interest in that game. Rutgers, Rutgers 2.5-point home faves today. Nope, not for me. 8 o'clock. This is a big one. We're going to skip over the Arizona game because I don't consider that one major still. Like, Colorado is on the periphery being a tournament team. I'm not even sure if they're in or not.
Colorado is just also brutal. I would side on the Arizona side of things. But
Kansas-Baylor, to me, is the most important game. And I think that – how about this? We're going to hit break. We'll get into Kansas-Baylor coming up after this.
Okay.
And then maybe after college basketball – discuss some NFL stuff because there's some good markets for value right now if you're looking for stuff to bet. So
still a lot to get to. 40 minutes left in the program. DraftKings over-under show. Brendan Glasheen, Dan Lifshatz, and Tucker Silva will be back.
This is the DraftKings over-under show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
.com.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings over-under show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
DraftKings over-under show rolls on. All right, let's not waste any time because Dan's got thoughts here on Baylor, Kansas. Big time game. Does Baylor, Dan, respond to the big spot at home in primetime?
So, this is probably Baylor's biggest game of the year, in my opinion, for them. Because this determines, really, if they win this game, now you can start making an argument for Baylor to potentially get a one seed if you have some failings at the front. Especially if you have, if they win out here, they beat Kansas, they beat Texas, they beat Iowa State. Now you're potentially looking at Baylor getting back into that one seed conversation, or at least two. I'd say right now they're probably a borderline three, right? 10th team in the country. We're going to find out, you know, Kansas and Texas, like that Texas game. If they win today, that Texas game has serious letdown potential. Like, this is a really big game for them.
Baylor is a projected two seed
okay.
at the moment.
So if they lose the Kansas, I think they're a three seed. I think this probably determines their seeding. If they beat Kansas, Texas, Iowa State, I think they have a chance to get a one seed. So I think that, I mean, to me, this game right here probably determines their seeding in the tournament. You know, again, assuming that they have a good, you know, a good Big 12 tournament and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, the tournament games to me don't really impact seeding in my eyes as much as people think they do. Like, unless it's a team that's borderline, has a great tournament getting in, sure. But if you're telling me that Baylor beats, like, you know, if Baylor loses in the semis to Texas Tech or Kansas, like in a neutral site game,
it's not going to count much against them.
Yeah.
If they win a game like tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, I think tonight's game is more important than that conference game, which is surprising because I know a lot of people put a ton of stock in that conference game. I don't. I actually seem to think that conference games don't really matter too much because technically they're not counted as quad one wins, which I think is super weird. But
right, the conference tournament. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's super weird that's not counted that way. But whatever, that kind of
brings home your point of why this one has more magagnitude.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying I think it's super weird that the committee does it that way. But yeah. So yeah,
there are a lot of questions. We could spend a whole 2-hour show about the committee
that's
and their
fair.
Decision making.
That's definitely fair. All right, so Baylor -3. We're starting to see that tick up to 3.5 some places. My assumption is the sharper people will probably be on the Baylor side today. I've already talked to a few people who love Baylor today. They potentially could be getting back some of their injured guys, which is interesting. You know, it would be like a massive boost if, like, for instance, Cryer was able to play a little bit, you know, a little bit today. For them would be a big boost. But yeah, look, Baylor just all they need to do is find a way to win this game. I think to me, this is just such an important game. Kansas still has three games left after this Baylor game. Two games versus TCU and a home game versus Texas. So they still have time to continue to win, you know, this Big 12 conference and finish up with, you know, 26 victories, et cetera, et cetera. I think, to me, this is Baylor's game of the year right here. If you're looking for, if you like Baylor and you think this team has potential and you think this team can do something in a tournament, this is the game to take Baylor, not the other way around.
Yeah, looking at their resume, as you said, looking at the non-conference slate, they have some pretty good wins in the non-conference with Villanova, one that stands out for sure, but yeah, this is they need to have a game tonight responding against a really good team at home. They lost to Kansas at the beginning of the month, 83-59.
That was the game I bet Baylor in that game. And that game, 83-59, does not even begin to describe how lopsided that was. That score does not reflect how lopsided that game was. Kansas could have won that game by 40-45 going away easily.
What the hell happened?
Look, they were really banged up. They did not show up. They have had some struggles on the road this year. They really have. The Bama game, then the Kansas game, then the Texas Tech game. Like, they've had three games in a row on the road. You're going, what the hell is going on with this team here? And to me, there are some concerns in that area. But this game is not a roadie. This is a home game. And, you know, they've been perfect at home this year. With the exception of that Oklahoma, with the exception of the, I was going to say that two game stretch in the Texas Tech Oklahoma State game. That Texas Tech game, they were up 15 in the first half in that game. The Oklahoma State game, they were up 10 in the first half. Both those games, they let get away at home. So I mean, look, to me, there's nothing more than this is a must win for Baylor. Must win. That's the way I lean. I Kansas has been the better team. If you're asking me who the team I like in the tournament more is, it's certainly not Baylor. But today, I think this is a good spot for Baylor. I think they find a way to win this game.
All right, before we get into some futures as it pertains to the NFL draft and some college football stuff, do you want to give us a quick 30 seconds on Providence?
We have some time here. Let's discuss it. Creighton on the road to Providence. Providence right now minus five.
Five and a half on DraftKings.
Though. Okay, yeah. So there's money coming on them. Look, I've now talked about ad infinitum, this Providence team, okay, and how I feel about them. I think they have a horseshoe up their butt. I think they're probably the luckiest team in the country. I don't think they deserve to win the Xavier game. I don't think they deserve to win the Butler game. I actually think I'll make an argument that they deserve to win the Villanova game more than either of those two games.
That they did deserve to win that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. I do think so. You look at Providence's big wins this year. Wisconsin without their best player on the road, right? They beat Texas Tech at home. To me, that's a fantastic win. You got to give them credit for that. There's no taking that away. But then you get into, you know, the Big East and their wins, you know, home versus UConn, home versus Seton Hall. Good. You know, you have a road loss to Marquette and a home loss to Villanova.
They got smoked by Marquette. That's a young team, too.
Yeah. Again, like
tough spot.
You're never going to be great every game, you know.
Right. You're always due for one or two stinkers on your schedule.
Yeah,
every team.
I can't knock them.
We just got on Baylor for that, right?
Like, exactly.
It happens.
Yeah, and they lost to Virginia in a neutral site game. Like, early in the season, I can't really get on them for that. But again, if you're looking at the schedule, like. You know, they've had a ton of wins in these close games, and people are like, well, they're not lucky. They just know how to close games out. Well, part of closing games out is skill and experience. Part of closing games out is luck. Teams are shooting 22% in the final 2 minutes against Providence. You can attribute some of that to playing good defense, and I definitely think that's fair, right? Good defensive team, experienced team, etc. Some of that's just luck. Some of that's just getting calls going your way. Like, again... In the Xavier game, if that is a flagrant foul that they call, Xavier gets two shots and the ball, and that might be game. Instead, it's a common foul, and then the roof is leaking 5 minutes later, and all of a sudden the momentum has completely swung, and now it's a neutral game again. And what do you know, Providence gets back into it. Like, again, there's just a lot of crazy stuff that's going on with this Providence team this year. I'm just going to say it again. If you're asking me about a team that's very high ranked that you look to fade early in the tournament, Providence is my pick. And it's not disrespectful. I'm not trying to be, you know, all anti-Providence. Because, by the way, I'm rooting for Providence as their local team. Just from a gambling perspective, trying to be unbiased here, Providence is the exact type of team you look to fade early in the tournament. And I would bet anything that when they fade, you know, they'll probably be, I think they're probably going to be a three seed. That'd be
They're a projected four.
I think they're going to be three. I think they're going to be three because, you know, assuming that they beat this Creighton team, I think they're going to be three. If they face if they're four seed, look out because that they'll face a good 13 seed. If they're a four seed and they're three seed and they face a 14, they'll probably be eight to nine point favorites. And I guarantee you there will not be a single sharp on them. There won't be. It's going to be public. It will be a pros versus Joes type game in that game. And there's a good chance that, you know, Providence throws a stinker there, you know, and just, you know, the tournament's different. It's a different atmosphere and everything. At Villanova, by the way, I have Providence winning that game. I think they deserve to win that game the first time around. You want to talk about the one game that they did not win this year, they deserve to, that Villanova game. I can make an argument that they deserve to lose DePaul, Butler, Xavier, the three games surrounding that game. But I thought they should have won that Villanova game. I thought they did get unlucky that game. I say today, Creighton, this is an interesting spot because you're looking ahead to that road and that obviously we just talked about. That's Tuesday at Villanova. Creighton now has won six in a row.
Yeah.
They're hot. This is a very good team. They're hot. They're hot as hell.
They could make the tournament if they win a game like today.
They have a road game. They have at Providence, home versus UConn and Seton. If they go 3-0, they're in the tournament here. They're 19 wins.
That's a big ask, though.
Providence is a quad one win if they win.
Yep.
Providence quad one win. UConn is probably, what, a quad two win at home? Quad two. And then Seton unranked. I think
they could go 2 out of 3 and be okay, maybe.
Yeah, they could. I think you could, especially this game to me. This is the one, though.
Yep.
You beat Providence on the road. Now you're talking, because now that's going to be recognized as a big win. So I think this is not a great spot to back Providence today. I still think Providence finds a way to win. I'm just not taking the number at 5.5.
Yeah, it's hard to at this point. And maybe not for those of you that are Providence fans. But again, it's about the number, not the team. Don't take it personal.
Yeah, it's not personal. I'm just reading, reacting, looking at the schedule, looking at how they've done, looking at their luck. Usually your luck, for all these teams who are super lucky, luck usually runs out in the tournament. That's usually how it goes. Like, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is. To round up the rest of the college slate, Gonzaga at St. Mary's today. Gonzaga -9.5. Look, Gonzaga's 24-2. They're perfect in their conference.
Chet Holmgren is starting to turn a corner in this season.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Their two losses this year against teams who can light it up, Duke and Alabama.
Yep.
This is going to be a team that, look,
they're on the road in this game? They're at St. Mary's?
At St. Mary's. This is their final game in conference. All they got to do is win. They beat St. Mary's handily at home. I expect St. Mary's to push them a little bit, but I think Gonzaga wins this game, closes out the conference. And then USC Oregon.
Do they cover Gonzaga?
I'm going to say no, cuz I'm going to say this is just they're just trying to limp over the line, get the win. So I'm going to say no. Okay. I don't think they cover.
Right, cuz they already have the regular season wrapped up. Yep. They've already got the number 1 spot in the conference.
Yep. I mean, they got the number 1 seed in the country, barring something crazy,
that too.
Happening. So, and then USC Oregon to me,
freaking Oregon.
Yeah, look, Oregon has been
classic Oregon. They're playing their best basketball in the second half of the year. Yeah. I'm sorry, I was on UCLA the other day.
But they're 2-3 their last 5. They're starting to go down. They just had a major win at home versus UCLA.
Yeah.
Letdown spot versus USC.
They beat them twice now. They swept UCLA.
Yeah.
Oregon.
Yeah. No. Good matchup. This is a letdown spot for me for Oregon. -4 today. I know. Road team on the road favored. As a dog. Like, to me, this is not a great spot. However, not betting it because USC is Arizona on Tuesday, and then UCLA after that. So they get Oregon, Arizona, UCLA to finish the season. They've now won 5 straight. They're playing very good basketball, including a win at home versus UCLA. I don't want to get in front of the USC train right now, but at the same time, it's not the spot that I'm looking to back them in.
Yeah, well, they didn't have a great game the other night on Thursday. They played Oregon State, and that game went to double overtime. So something to consider too.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. All right. How about this? Why don't we break early?
Okay.
We break early, and we get a long final segment here talking about NFL draft, NFL futures. Tuck, definitely want you in on this one too. We can talk about Aaron Rodgers. We can talk about Russell Wilson. We can talk about, you know, any of these quarterback futures, because I do think that this is going to be something that is going to develop over the next couple of weeks here with NFL free agency coming up pretty quickly.
All right, let's do that next here on the Over-Under Show.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, winding down this Saturday morning edition of the Over-Under Show. Of course, it's brought to you by DraftKings. Brendan Glasheen in for Joe Murray this week. Joe's back next Saturday. Dan Lifshatz, Tucker Silva alongside as well. We're going to dive into some NFL futures, a lot of movement with quarterbacks or potential movement, we think. And maybe a little look ahead here to the 2022 NFL draft, because that is coming. I think once March Madness starts is when you're like, oh, wow, the draft's in a month. So all good stuff. Great time on the sports calendar. Dan, what's your leadoff thought here in terms of the NFL offseason and what you might be targeting?
So let's just talk about the draft quickly before we get into the player futures. I do think, obviously, those are going to draw the most interest. But in terms of the betting interest and limits and et cetera, the number one overall pick market has moved quite a bit. And just kind of give everyone a perspective on what happened. Right around the national championship game, Aiden Hutchinson was the clear favorite to go number one overall and has been that way up until about the last 3 weeks. Evan Neal has started to gain a lot of traction and is now the overwhelming favorite at DraftKings, minus 150, to go number one overall. Just to put it into perspective, Neal is plus four and a half, plus 450, I believe, to open up to go number one overall. Hutchinson was minus 110, and I believe that Kayvon Thibodeau was like plus 115, plus 120, and now we're seeing some major movement in the market. Evan Neal now big favorite to go number one overall, minus 150. I'll tell you right now, shop around. There are certainly better prices, but the way that news and info has been traveling around league circles, it does seem like Evan Neal is going to go number one overall, which, you know, right now, minus 150 probably gives you a good price. And to be honest with you, Neal makes sense for number one overall, right? You probably want to get a quarterback, or sorry, you want to probably want to get a left tackle for your franchise quarterback. So I do think that that makes sense, you know, kind of for what they're doing there. And now we're seeing Aiden Hutchinson drop into the plus 200 range, which I think is interesting. And then, of course, Ekern, I cannot pronounce his name, by the way. I apologize for blowing this. But Ekem Ekonwu now was 40-1 to be the first overall pick. He's now 7-1. That was like 3-1 a few days ago. Now moving 7-1, so we're seeing some step back there. And then Kayvon Thibodeau is now 10-1. Thibodeau opened as plus 120, minus 110 some places. Now he's 10-1. So look, I'm just saying, I think that you probably should get on Evan Neal at plus money. If you have a plus money on Evan Neal, I would get on that very, very quickly, because that market is going to disappear in a red hot minute if you're looking for any sort of action on the number one overall pick.
Not a lot of, it's not a very deep draft. Like, no. Offensive line is actually going to be a big talking point. We'll have to get Greg Bedard thoughts on
and
this.
And defensive line. I mean, look, the top four right now projected number one, Neal Hutchinson, Konwu, Thibodeau, defensive line and offensive line. So, I mean, like, you know, we're talking about guys who are, you know, that's really where the, you know, a lot of the power is going to be. There's not a lot of quarterback power in this market. But I do think that Evan Neal right now, if you can get plus money, he's plus 175 like 2 days ago. You know, I do think that there's going to be value, because I think it does very much seem like it feels like the Jags have settled on their player with Evan Neal.
So just, I got a follow-up question to this. So remember last year when, of course, there was five quarterbacks taken in the top 15. Any chance, not necessarily number one, but any chance, and there's nothing right now after first overall is all that's available right now. At least that's what I'm seeing on DraftKings. But any chance, like, I'm just throwing his name out there, like a Kenny Pickett, there's like talk of him like rising into a top five discussion. Some team gets stupid and says, oh, we're going to move up and take this kid.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's not number one overall. I don't think you're going to
see that. But like top of the draft.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a chance. For instance, like I would look at maybe a team like Carolina if they miss out on a Deshaun Watson, someone like that, one of the bigger names. I think that, I mean, they know that it's not going to work there with Sam Darnold. Like they need to figure something out. So yeah, if you're Carolina and you can't obviously get the guy you want, like you're going to take a chance on a guy like Pickett, like. Yeah, that's probably the way that it, you know, that they go, and or maybe it's Malik Willis, like, you know what I mean. It probably one of those two guys. And speaking of those guys,
What about the Giants? They have two picks.
They have
in the
two,
top 10.
Five and seven. Yeah, good call, Tucker.
From the way that they've been talking with Daniel Jones, doesn't it feel like they're not ready to give up on him just yet?
Man, maybe they're
how can you not
there?
Give up on that guy?
I feel like Joe Judge did not exactly put him in the best position to succeed.
Agreed, but I don't know. I just think my point being is, remember last year how it changed so quickly when the Niners decided we're going to trade all these assets to go up and get number three? Like, out of nowhere, I feel like something like that could formulate where we see a team, to your point, Dan, if he can't get Watson, say the Giants try to go after Russell Wilson and they can't get him. Maybe they do to figure, all right, let's get stupid and go get Pickett at the top of the draft.
Last year, the quarterbacks were ranked so highly, even though some of them fell, the draft was just such a deep draft that the quarterbacks were ranked so highly. This year, the consensus around NFL circles now is that the quarterback position is not good. So maybe a guy like Pickett, you would take, you know, who's being projected possibly in the top 10, like he might have been like a late first round pick last year, maybe a second. So like I don't know how stupid some of these teams are going to get. In the quarterback position, a lot of teams will get stupid. So is it possible that the Giants go out and draft Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis? Absolutely. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm just saying in terms of you're looking in terms of where they're actually going to be. I saw the over-under on Pickett posted 13.5 was the first one that I saw in the market. I think that's probably going to be around the area that we see him. It might be under. You're probably going to get a desperate quarterback team, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd probably play the under at 13.5. But, I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about a team reaching? Like, do you think that's going to happen? I don't see any team like getting super desperate and reaching out for a quarterback that in a draft that isn't super valuable.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard the same thing in terms of like it's not a deep quarterback class and
or good quarterback.
Yeah, class. Or good, but it's just like how many times have we seen, you know, a quarterback pop up the ranks due to a combine or something like that, or a team falls in love with them. It's just, you can't rule it out. I mean, the Steelers should be in that mix too, right?
Yeah, I guess. I feel like Pittsburgh's going to be one of those teams that's patient.
They're drafting at 20th overall, and there's the Pitt connection as well. Maybe they move up, possibly, to go get Pickett. I'm not saying they should. I'm saying they could.
No, silly. I know.
If one of those guys slips. Because it's a
would you say, Dan, 13.5? So right now the team with the 13th pick would be Cleveland.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's at 12. They still have Cousins. But then when you go from 11, inside 11 to 1, there are teams that are all in market for a quarterback.
Yeah. With the exception, obviously, Jacksonville. But
except Jacksonville.
Yeah. But I do understand what you guys are saying. I would probably go under there, too. Again, these markets are probably not readily available on the over-unders in terms of, like, you know, what you can kind of, you know, bet. Very small limits early on. I think Neal was under 2.5 and Hutchinson was over under 2.5. I bet under on both of those. I think they'll be the number one and number two picks, but Neal especially, I was pretty deep on. But I was surprised. Kayvon Thibodeau was open 3.5, which I thought was interesting. You know, that was interesting. McConwu opened up 3.5 too, which is interesting. So, you know, there are some of those. Malik Willis opened up 19.5, just to kind of give you guys perspective. So 19.5, 13.5. I think that there's a chance, by the way, just the way that the league trends, I think there's a chance we'll see Willis before Pickens. So I think if you're looking for a little bit of value in the first quarterback round, you probably should see Malik Willis around the 150 area. If you want to take a little bit of that, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I just think Willis is more built for the way that the NFL wants guys to be now, right? Like, mobile, can get out of the pocket, you know, bigger body, whatever. I think that he's kind of the guy like that teams are looking at and say, oh, you know, instead of a more of a pocket-ish guy like Pickett, in my opinion.
Over on the DraftKings Sportsbook, Tucker, to your point, there's a player future available. Who will take the Pittsburgh Steelers' first snap at quarterback for next season? Any rookie quarterback is at plus 750 as of right now. Jimmy Garoppolo plus 900. I know he's been connected there, but Mason Rudolph's the favorite. Then it's Dwayne Haskins. Any rookie quarterback at plus 750.
Yeah. I'd be careful about that.
I'm just going after what he said about his potential draft prospect.
And by the way, FanDuel does have the first quarterback selected up. Kenny Pickett plus 120, Malik Willis plus 150, Sam Howell plus 650, Matt Corral 10-1. And they up for the number one overall pick. They have Evan Neal plus 120, Aiden Hutchinson plus 200, Kayvon Thibodeau 8-1. So again, you're going to find some plus money on Neal for sure. And I do think that, you know, if you're looking at first quarterback selected, I'd probably look Willis. I probably would. Because I think that he's going to be more the kind of guy that we're looking more for, you know, in the future and the way that the position is evolving. So, all right, moving on quickly. I know we only have a few minutes here.
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so to me, I talked about this after, before the Super Bowl, really during the middle of the playoffs. I thought Rodgers would be, you know, I thought Rodgers had a chance to go to Miami. That was before Brian Flores was fired. I'm not sure about that now. Still 25-1 on Miami, I don't think is a bad shot. And here's another one, Tuck. And there are some rumors going around in circles. Rumors are that Aaron Rodgers has had discussions with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that, you know, that he could go to Tampa Bay if Tom Brady, you know.
Whatever. Are there odds on that?
And Tampa Bay,
+1,400.
14-1. So to me, I'm looking at 14-1. I'm looking at 25-1, maybe for some nibbles there. I know Denver's +350. Those numbers, those odds are getting longer.
I mean, I find that hard to believe because all the reports are that Arians and Brady couldn't get along. So now Rodgers is going to go to a place that, you know, had some controversy with the coach, which is something that Rodgers has been, you know, battling throughout his career, it seems like.
But let's also remember that Rodgers and Arians respect each other. This is
do they? I don't know.
Yeah,
well, I have no idea.
Rodgers has always kind of spoken very highly Bruce Arians publicly.
When I didn't know that.
Yep, when he's discussed him, and I think those two have a better working relationship than people think. I also think that it's possible that with Byron Leftwich potentially moving on, that Rodgers would be able to pick his quarterback coach.
Right.
So there are some rumors of that as well, that Rodgers, if he went there, would might be able to pick his quarterback coach because they have not technically named a replacement for Leftwich or what the deal is with him. I think he's coming back, but we'll see. And Rodgers also, by the way, apparently has a working relationship with Leftwich. So to me, it's an interesting spot, and he gets to be in Florida with an elite number one wide receiver in Mike Evans.
Mm.
So, you know, I to me, that's...
And there's no way they could get Adams and Evans together,
I don't know. I mean, Tampa's in a bad in cap spot right now. So I don't think that would be possible. No.
Even if they don't bring Godwin back.
I know. I think Godwin's gone. I think Godwin's gone. And of course, Deshaun Watson to me, we'll talk about Russell Wilson maybe in the future. Deshaun Watson to me, very interesting. Carolina 16-1. It's now 12-1 at DraftKings, but open 16-1. There's still some 16-1s on the board. I think Carolina's going to make a run at Watson. I do. And no, Washington's 3-1. Tampa Bay, I don't think that's happening.
Well, ESPN is doing some heavy reporting on last offseason. It was going to be Watson for, I think the report was McCaffrey and 3-1s to Carolina.
Yeah.
Or to Houston.
And I think that value is obviously dipped.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to be the price now. But 10-1 with Denver and 16-1 with Carolina, those are two prices I would be mildly interested in. Again, I'm not talking big money here or full units or whatever, but I do think that, you know, shots here and there, not a bad shot, especially with Carolina wanting to be aggressive for a quarterback this offseason.
All right, plenty of time, of course, to dissect the NFL offseason and this potential quarterback movement. Dan? It was a good time. Tucker, thanks for having me, guys. Enjoyed it these last 2 weeks.
Yeah, no,
thanks,
dude.
Man.
It was fun. Glad you got to hang out with us, and maybe we'll bring you on with Joe, or maybe Joe will bring you on when I'm gone. You can replace me.
There you go.
Be nice.
All right, well, here we go, folks. Great time of year. College basketball season wrapping up. Of course, we talked about the NBA. Keep your eyes on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app to get the podcast. And, of course, wherever you get your podcasts, it will be posted shortly. That's going to do it for us this week on the DraftKings Over Under Show. For Dan Lifschatz and Tucker Silva, Brendan Glasheen, Joe Murray's back next week. Coming up next, the Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston and company here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5 The
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.